All right, so Just Because, obviously, becomes a huge hit. You're back.
Yeah.
No question about that. And what happened to KRC? It just kind of faded away when you signed with Paramount?
No, actually, I only signed that one record with Paramount. I came back, and we did some other stuff. I wanted to produce other artists. My heart have always been in producing. So we came up with a couple of kids, a kid called Eddie Seacrest. When Elvis was so hot, I thought, so here's a white kid, can be an Elvis Presley. We brought him into town, produced him, and we produced Stella Johnson, and Lil Sonny Warner was with us.
Okay.
And nothing happened. So I decided, you know, I should write a song, another song for myself and record myself again. I wrote a song called You Need Love. I thought it would be the greatest song in the world. Clyde McFadden had just came out with
Treasure of Love.
Treasure of Love, something like that. And Clyde was a great friend of mine.
Oh.
So I wrote this song, You Need Love, You Need Love. I thought that was going to be the biggest record in the world. And I decided to put a B-side on the back of it. Stagger Lee, a song I had done in Korea, you know, as a play for the officers. So I would just put Stagger Lee on the back by happenstance. And I couldn't play what they call the turnaround. You know, when you get to the end of the verse of the chorus, you got
to
have a turnaround.
To
all I could play
one.
Was those eight bars. Uh-huh. Eight bars. Those same chords in Stagger Lee I use in Lord of Miss Claudia. I use in several others. It's the same thing, just the tempo just faster. And instead of a turnaround, I just bum, 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 bum. And that was the signature song. Naturally, Stagger Lee went on to be one of my biggest, biggest songs ever. And
what was the origins of Stagger Lee?
The origins of Stagger Lee was my father. I'd heard him, my uncles, from a kid. You know, they would sing lyrics in that patois down in Louisiana. I couldn't understand what they were saying. And back in when I was a teenager in Louisiana, I think it was 1951, I heard Archibald came out with it, where I understood it. And he even had him going in the cemetery and all that stuff. But he was calling it Smack-a-Lee. So I said, let me just try to make some sense out of this when I was in Korea. And I decided to call it Stagger-Lee. The night was clear. I put this top on it. This was the play. These guys would act this thing out, and the moon was yellow, the lights and all that stuff would come. The leaves would fall. Paper would come down. And we would do that show for the generals. That was my B-side. And we tried to make You Need Love go for about a month and a half on ABC. I had re-signed with ABC. ABC decided that to sign me as an artist, but I couldn't do no more work with KRC. So that's what happened to KRC. I signed with ABC for 3 years. A guy from Seattle, Washington, a disc jockey, called us and said, you're on the wrong side. I never will forget. It was snowing that day. Larry Newton, vice president and the sales manager, called me. Said, we're on the wrong side. We got to turn the record over. I was rebelling. No, no, You Need Love is the greatest song ever. You can't turn it over. Just stay with it. So he called me back. I said, okay, turn it over. That afternoon, they had 200,000 orders for Stagger Lee. Unbelievable.
Just like that.
Just like that. And Stagger Lee went on. I've been hearing stuff over the years about records being number one for 3 weeks. Stagger Lee was in the top 10 for 18 weeks. It was number one maybe 13 to 14 weeks of that. Of course, we didn't have Grammys and we didn't have all the ARIs, RIAA that we have now. That came right during that period. But Stagger Lee was just an unbelievable song.
Do you ever get tired singing Stagger Lee?
Well, you know what? I quit for a while, and now it's a lot of fun. I do it now. It's just wonderful. And I understand what it is, and every time I play the record, I can hear the hit. You know, I didn't hear that then, but now I know why it hit. I hear it.
It was such a big production. I mean, you had backup singers. You had a big band on that. That's a big sound.
Well, let me tell you, Matt. Each one of my songs that I've ever had, if you listen to them, you see that they were all different. When I did Stagger Lee, I wanted to do something a little different. I wanted to use background singers because I'm a soloist. So I said to Sam Clark, who was the president at that time, I got an idea of how we should do this. I don't want what we call the black sound, you know, the doo-wops, but I want voices. But I want the voices, and it's got to be an arrangement, and he gave me Don Costa. Don Costa was the arranger, and what I played in my right hand, I told Don Costa I want the horns to do that, you know. And I want the voices to mimic what the horn's doing and just singing some of the words, like go staggerly, and you hear the horns go, da-da-da-da, go stagger, da-da-da-da, go stag-da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of stuff. And I did an arrangement by mouth and by what I can play by hand on piano to Don Costa, and I told him I needed a big band. That separated me from those three horns of New Orleans, and everybody was using three horns, a baritone, a tenor, and a trumpet. I wanted three trumpets, two trombones, you know, and that kind of stuff, 12 singers to put me into another market. So whenever I put a record out, it went straight to the pop chart. I didn't have to worry about that R&B stuff.
It's kind of like you had the same concept going in your head that Ray Charles was doing over Atlantic with his Genius of Ray Charles album.
Not true. All that came after me. When Ray Charles and I was in Atlanta and I had a big band, Ray Charles was using Fathead and three or four more people. I had 14 people on the stage. We just blew them off the stage. James Brown, they all emulated my big band. I always had a big band. And they start mimicking what I did. When I tell you about Ray Charles, I went down to Lexington, Kentucky when I heard Ray Charles was going to be leaving Atlantic and made the deal for Paramount Records.
You made the deal?
Yeah. Yeah. for Larry Newton with Ray Charles.
Didn't Ray get a better deal than you?
He did.
He owned his own master.
Yes, he did. But at that time, I was going to leave and form my own company, Double L.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know if his deal was better because at that time, when I formed Double L, I had Wilson Pickett. I opened up with Wilson Pickett.
Yep. That's great. and that was Wilson Pickett after the Falcons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was with Bill Doggett.
If you need me.
Yeah, if you need me, exactly.
Yeah, and there's another two guys, you know, because you got Solomon Burke with the same record, and that's a whole other story,
that. I'll tell you about that. They offered me a deal on that. I'll tell you about it.
Oh, okay. You want to just...
Sure. Yeah. Well, what happened was Ahmet Erdogan called me and asked me to pull my Wilson Pickett record and take a back end with Solomon Burke. Well, my loyalty was to Wilson Pickett, you know, not Solomon Burke, because Solomon was a big star at that time. What I did was, when I realized that I was going to get covered by Atlantic, they're red hot now, I had to find a way not to lose Wilson Pickett. So what happened was, you know, black radio was from dusk to dawn during that time. I bought nighttime radio on WWRL. I bought it forever and hired my own disc jockey, the Magnificent Montague, to play my records on WWRL. For $600 a week. I bought all that time for $600 a week. I bought from 8 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning. Not only did I do it in New York, I did it in Detroit, Birmingham, Atlanta, and New Orleans. I had all of the pop jockeys who would go off at 6 o'clock, come back on, and do my time at night and play my records with Double L.
This is filling in so many blanks. I wish I had talked to you years ago, Lloyd. Wow, you hired the Magnificent Montague. Well, Pickett ended up on Atlantic.
Yes, he did. What happened was, a year in after he did It's Too Late and did an album for us, I found out that Pickett, you know, was probably the wildest man in the world. The first tour I sent him on, he shot his brother in the knee, and I said, I had bought him a Buick, he wanted a Cadillac, and I said, this is too bad, I don't know how to do this. I didn't know how to handle that kind of stuff. I didn't pick up his option.
Okay.
Montague took him to Atlantic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how that happened.
All right.
Yeah.
Back to Stagger Lee for a second. Let's talk about how you had to clean up the song for broadcast over American Bandstand on ABC TV.
Well, would you believe, Matt, Stagger Lee shot Billy? They claimed that was too hard to go on air on ABC. Well,
but Lloyd, the bullet went through Billy and broke the bartender's glass. That's pretty hardcore, man.
Well, they might have thought it broke something else. What rhymes with glass?
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, I was speaking my patois at that time. Uh-huh. They probably didn't understand what because if you notice in the beginning, I said, the night was clear. And the leaves was yellow. They probably thought glass was that other bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Dick Clark refused to play the record because he thought I had said something else. So I had to go in and make new lyrics for that track so Dick Clark can play it on his Saturday night program. Because Dick liked me. We was real good friends. I don't know how many times I was on his show. He even put Just Because on there. That time he wasn't putting on ballads. It was a dance show. I went on his show with Just Because. I don't know if that was a connection with ABC or what. It was part of ABC Network at that time. But anyway, I had to go and do new lyrics for Dick Clark Dance Party show on Saturday night. And I talked about these two guys, instead of being gangsters, I made them friends and they fell out about a girlfriend.
No gambling.
No gambling, none whatsoever. That was too hard.
You couldn't have done it. You really needed the Dick Clark support?
Well, at that time, Dick Clark was so powerful. If Dick Clark played your record on his afternoon show, was a tremendous, you're going on the charts. You own Billboard and Cashbox and Variety right away.
Mm-hmm.
If he played it on a Saturday night show, if you number 50, you're going in the top 30, a top 20. That's how strong that show was. The kids had nothing else. There was a lot of local dance parties, but nobody was like Dick Clark. You know, he was our network, and he was the man.
Mm.
And everybody watched it. And I went from there to Ed Sullivan. Of course, that was the cream of the crop. Ed Sullivan was it.
Did Sullivan let you do Stagger Lee with your lyrics?
Oh, yes. I did Personality. And what was funny back during that time, Matt, you had to have a different kind of show for that audience. It was a white audience and a black audience. I had to sing, on Ed Sullivan, I sang Time After Time. No, I sang Foggy Day and Stagger Lee. Foggy Day and Personality. I had to do two songs, and one of them had to be of a standard origin. Yes.
So they could relate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you did Stagger Lee, you didn't have to change the lyrics?
No, not at all.
Which is funny because there's tons of stories about how Ed wasn't comfortable with, you know, Rolling Stones lyrics, Doors lyrics, things that came after you. But I mean, you know, it was okay with the violence and Stagger Lee.
But you know what?
Because there were no drug references or sex references.
None whatsoever. Yeah. And I don't even suspect that. Well, I never allowed drugs in the band. All my guys had to look like the Pope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They had to have that attitude. If they did smoke or get high, I knew nothing about it because why jeopardize somebody else's life and career because of your personal habit?
Right.
And I believe that today. If a guy want to get high, go get high on your own. Don't do it here. And that was kind of my reputation. And I had dinner with Ed a few times, and he and his wife. And he probably thought I was a nice guy, and he let me kind of do what I wanted. And Ray Block.
Mm-hmm.
They later brought the whole Ed Sullivan show over to my nightclub. My club was just across the street from the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Oh, it was on Broadway.
And they rehearsed, yes. They rehearsed the whole Ed Sullivan show every Sunday in my club, every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday before the show went on. That show was done at my nightclub first.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Never heard that before. Wow.
Well, nobody
amazing.
Writes about Lloyd. I was too smart.
The night was clear. And the moon was yellow, and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. It was Stagger Lee.
Floyd's complete domination of the Billboard pop chart. It was number one for 4 weeks and remained on the Hot 100 chart for 21 solid weeks, back in the winter of 1958 into 59. Now, if you've never heard the non-violent recut of the song that Lloyd had to do for the Dick Clark program, here's a little excerpt of that right now. Listen to how tame this is in comparison to Lloyd's original.
Probably your second biggest hit or third biggest hit.
Well, actually,
how'd that come around?
Actually, I was I had a gig in Pittsburgh, and normally I do a lot of thinking as I drive. I love driving, and on this particular day, I got a call from Sam Clark. He said, "We got to put out another record. I think Lady Luck or something like that was out." He said, "You're gonna need a record. You're gonna need one soon." And I had been thinking about this title, Personality, because, you know, when you shake somebody's hand, you describe their personality always first. Well, the guy got a great personality, or she walks with one, you know, I said, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. By the time I got to down the turnpike, the exit 6, I had the song. Because she walks with personality, talks with personality. I had to make it a chick again like I did that coffee in Lord and Miss Claudia. Had to use another woman. And I could not come up with a turnaround again. So as I was driving, I started thinking about this old spiritual, Wade in the Water. I don't know what made that connection. Wade in the water, Wade in the water, children. So I said, whoa, 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 ran over. Tried to prove my love to you. There it was.
Wow.
Never wrote a line, just ad-libbed it. And that, because it's so natural.
Yeah.
And I said, I need a big white choir to sing this. This is going to roll the world. And sure enough, Personality came out like this week. in most countries of the world. It was number one. It never made number one here in America. And the thing that kept it out was the Battle of New Orleans with Johnny Harton. 1814, we took a little trip. Personality probably was two or three for 10 to 12 weeks. Sold millions of records. Just me. Been on air now nearly 4 million times.
Oh, over and over, I tried to prove my love to you. Over and over, what more can I do? Over and over, my friend says I'm a fool. But over, over and over, I'll be a fool for you. Cause you've got
personality,
walk
with personality,
talk
with personality,
smile
with personality,
charm
with personality,
love. Over and over.